That's good. Would you have, if you have your Bible, turn the book of Romans with me this morning, please. Chapter number 5 and verse number 12. If you look at verse number 10, we'll start reading there. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 10. The infallible text says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Look at verse 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Father, I bless this holy book. In thy name I pray. Amen. I'm going to preach you a message this morning. I'm going to entitle it, Plain Preaching. Amen. Nothing ostentatious about it. Amen. Just plain preaching. And here in the book of Romans chapter number 5, I want to start with the doctrine of salvation. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the simple fact that all men, every man, all of us, every one of us born of Adam's race, are born fallen creatures. We came into this world under the curse and condemnation that was passed upon us from the first man by his disobedience unto God. That condemnation is condemnation to damnation throughout eternity and separation from Almighty God in hell, fire, and damnation. Now, that's as plain as the Bible can teach it. And that's exactly what the Bible has to say. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" I know hell's not popular today, but folks, that's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with the Word of God. If we're going to be an old-fashioned Bible church, and that's what we are by the grace of God, we're going to preach what the Bible says. And salvation, therefore, is offered to all men. For the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. The Bible says he would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Salvation, therefore, is irrespective of race. It's irrespective of gender. It's irrespective of money. It's irrespective of wherever you came from, who you are, who you know. God Almighty saves every man from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah to God. So in the book of Romans chapter number 5, this is one of the clearest doctrines in all the Bible. Death came upon all because of the disobedience of one. But because of the obedience of one, life, the free gift of God, can come upon all men by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And here is as simple as it can be. In the book of Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I want to emphasize the whosoever in that scripture. There's a number of words that could be emphasized. Call could be emphasized. Upon the Lord can be emphasized. But I want to emphasize the word whosoever. Because whosoever means if you're a drug addict. Whosoever means if you're a prostitute. Whosoever means if you're a scientist. Whosoever means if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're bond, you're free. Whosoever, wherever, whoever, wherever you were born. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. The promise of the Word of God is that I can open this Bible, whoever I am, wherever I am, whatever age I live in, whatever culture I belong to, makes no difference. I can open up that Bible, I can read that Bible, and that Bible tells me Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. That's a great truth. Hallelujah to God. And you can be saved. Have you been saved? Do you know what it is to go to Calvary? Do you know what it is to have the blood cover your sins, to have your sins lifted, to have that burden taken from your soul? Do you know what it is to pass from death into life? Do you know what it is to know what light is and the difference between light and darkness? Do you know what it is to have a soul and hope in your soul that if you pass from this world today, you know where you're going to be? Hallelujah to God. I know whom I have believed, And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Freely you have received, freely give, no charge to the gospel. Would you receive him today? Here's the second thing in the Bible I want you to call your attention to. In 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Salvation is one of the absolute doctrines of the Bible, a foundation that's built upon. But so is forgiveness of sins. We all sin. You're going to sin. Sin will overtake you. Sin will come into your life. Sin will come into your life and begin to dominate your life. And how do you get rid of it? The only thing that can get rid of the power of sin is not prayer. It's not good deeds. It's not church membership. It's not reading the Bible. It's not trying hard. The only thing that can break the power of sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood can break the power of sin. If you put faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will break the power of sin in your life. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. You can give him your life. You can dedicate yourself. Be crucified on a cross. Do the best you can to live a perfect life. Be as sincere and honest as you know how to be. That will not break the power of sin. The only thing that can break the power of sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is a covenant between God and man. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross at Calvary is God binding himself to men and men being brought under a covenant that God made on the cross. That blood covenant says one righteous died for you. You are unrighteous. He paid your sin debt. His blood appeases me. I accept his blood sacrifice. His blood has been applied to the altar. When you sin, I look to that blood at the altar. I justify you because of what he did. There is no other justification. It's only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can break the power of sin. It's a spiritual thing. The power of sin, my friend, will take you down. It will destroy your family. It'll ruin your health. It'll burn your mind up. And the only thing that can break the power of sin is the blood covenant between God and man. And that blood is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross at Calvary. Therefore, I put faith in the blood. I confess my sin. I say, God, I can't do anything else but that. I can't change it. I've messed somebody up. I can't change what's happened. The past is the past. I would like to start a new life. I would like to make everything good. I would like to make everything new. But you cannot do it. So what do, preacher? You take God at his word. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What do you think he cleanses you with? The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1 and verse number 5, he hath washed us from our sins in his own precious blood. And so when you go to your knees, and you go to your knees laden with sin, you go to your knees with a burden of sin, you go to your knees with a guilt of sin, you go to your knees with the condemnation of sin, while on your knees you cry out, Lord God, there's no more I can do but to cry out to thee, forgive me in the name of Jesus. His blood will be applied to your soul and you have been forgiven in the name of Jesus. Now this is important. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is very important. Please listen to me. Satan will accuse you. He'll say that you're going to go right out and do it again. He's going to tell you that you're nothing but a hypocrite, a liar, and a deceiver. He'll ride you to death. He is the father of lies. If he can come between you and God, he has won the victory, and your life will spiral out of control. When you come and you pray, glory to God, there's no more that can be done, and God is faithful. He will forgive you of your sins. Hallelujah. That's how you walk in fellowship and communion with the Lord, by taking God at his word. I prayed, I confessed it, Lord, I'm serious, I mean it, forgive me. And the blood cleanses your sins away.
What if you go out and do it again, preacher? Don't worry about what you're going to do. Worry about what he's done for you. He'll take care of the going to do. He'll take care of the future. Just make sure that you know what it means when you confess your sin. He is faithful. He's just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let me ask you a question. If there's anything you could possibly do once you have sinned against God to justify yourself in the sight of God, please tell me what it is. Nothing. So he says he is faithful. He is just to forgive you of your sins. How is he just? He can be just and the justifier of him that believeth on Jesus. How, preacher? By the blood covenant, that's how, that God made with man. And the blood covenant, folks, you should know this, and don't ever let anybody move you from it. The blood covenant of your relationship with God Almighty is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross at Calvary. That condemned every devil to hell. That broke the power of sin. That took away the condemnation of sin. That blood covenant washes the soul white as snow. That blood covenant gives you power over sin itself to get the victory in time that we all need. Here's the third thing that we find in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 13. The apostle Paul builds on doctrines. And notice how he does. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then now look at Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. My friend, not only does the blood cleanse from sin, but the blood brings you to God. You said, "Now, preacher, I've been a good man, so God's going to hear him." God's not interested in how good you are. Your definition of good is so far removed from a holy, 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 righteous God that it's unbelievable. Once a man begins to get into his mind and soul that he can define what's good, and he can spell out what's good, and he can tell you what's righteous, and he becomes an author of righteousness, he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I lift up to his standard of good. I rise up to his standard of righteousness. And there's no other way that I can ever be righteous. There's no other way that I can even understand what goodness is but by the revelation of God Almighty. There is none good, the Lord told them when they said, "Good master." He even spoke of himself while he was here 2,000 years ago, because they were going to define what's good. He said, "Leave it alone." At the end of his lifetime, when he had lived a perfect sinless life, the Lord Jesus Christ had built a righteousness that did not exist until he came. After 33 and a half years of absolute obedience to the Father, pure and holy is his name. Bless the name. After 33 and a half years of living in a sinless, perfect life on this earth, a righteousness now had been accrued. It had been built. It had been established. It was the righteousness of the Son of God. And the day came when his feet would leave planet earth. The day came when he would ascend into the presence of Almighty God. And God bless your soul, make no mistake. He did not rise according to man's goodness. He did not rise according to man's righteousness or your understanding of it. He arose and ascended into the presence of the Father by his own righteousness. And that's a righteousness that did not come down from heaven. He came down as the sinless dove, the perfect Lamb of God, as the second person of the Trinity. But that's not the righteousness that came down. It is the righteousness of a man that's born like you in a stable, a man that walked the dirty road that you walk, a man that breathed like you do, a man that ate like you do and sleep like you do, but a man that was confronted with sin in all of its power, in all of its heinousness, a man that was confronted with everything that hell had to throw against him, and glory to God, he overcame it, he defeated it, he was greater than it, and by his faith in God, he trusted the Lord, and a righteousness developed. That righteousness is how he ascended into the presence of Almighty God. If you want to talk about righteousness, talk about the righteousness of the Son of God. Amen. I don't hear any man come up to me and tell me he's good and he's righteous. You don't have a clue. Take your righteousness and compare it to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll just begin to understand what I'm talking about to me. But the Bible said that he has made unto us righteousness. Hallelujah. Not only does his blood cleanse me, not only does his blood bring me into the very presence of God, but God covers me with the righteousness of the sinless, righteous Son of God. Amen. How else? When I go into a spiritual chamber and get on my knees and feel the warmth of the presence and the love of Almighty God, can I be in there in peace and in joy? How else can I come and enjoy my Heavenly Father except I be covered and I be hidden and I be clean? Amen. And it's not by anything that I've done. It's all by what he's accomplished. Amen. Think of that a while. Amen. I want you to look at Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 2 rather. Titus 1 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 1, Paul, a servant of God and of the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, watch this, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This is a statement of God's character. Now, let's understand this. This is a statement of God's character. Now, when the Bible said God is spirit, that's not his character. That's his essence. When the Bible said God is holy, that's not his character. That's his essence. When the Bible said our God is a consuming fire, that's not his character. That's his essence. That's who he is. That's what he is. But when the Bible says that God cannot lie, that's a direct reference to his character. In plain words, that's how he thinks. That's what motivates him. That's his mind. That's his soul. That's how he relates to the creature that we are. I'm a creature. He's the creator. He will never lie to you. He'll tell you the truth. The Word of the Bible said, sanctify them through that truth. Thy word is truth. This holy Bible that I've got in my hand, folks, is higher than anything any man ever wrote in his life. That's the word of God. The word of God is true. The word of God is pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. It is purified 7 times. This holy Bible, in the middle book, the middle verse in the whole scripture is talking about how pure and holy this holy book is that I hold in my hands. If I didn't have this holy book, my faith would be no better than anybody's faith. If I didn't have this holy Bible right here in front of me, my faith would be nothing more than outgrowth of my culture and the place I live, time I live, it'd be nothing. But if I've got this holy Bible and my faith is in this Bible and I believe what this Bible says, I believe what God says, his holy word, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ and this written book, they are inseparable. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so the truth of God is the Word of God. And as the Lord Jesus Christ manifested to us, he is the living truth of Almighty God. God told you the truth about heaven. He said, there's a place, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. There's a river that flows from that place with trees that grow on every side. There's a place up there where they sing the glory of God. There is no cancer and no heart disease. There are no problems. There is no sin. It cannot enter into that land. There'll be a grand reunion day when I see my grandfather and my grandmother. I see my family that's gone on before me that I think about every day of my life. I'm going to see him again. Make no mistake about it, my friend. There are many that have gone on from this place. In 38 years, I've watched many of God's people leave out of here. I'm expecting a reunion day when I see their faces again. They'll look at me and say, now, preacher, come on in, amen. You're home now, glory to God, and never be separated again. Won't it be something to live in a land where there are no graveyards? Won't it be something to live in a place where you'll never see death and suffering and sorrow? Wouldn't it be something to live where God intended you to live? And the only way you can ever live there is when He gives you life to live there. He's got to give you the life that you need to live there with. Amen. But He told you the truth about hell. He said it's better for you if you have your hand chopped off than to enter into hellfire. He said don't fear him that can destroy the body, but fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. He said, yea, I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Say, preacher, do you believe in hell? You better believe I do. I believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you believe in hell. You say, how horrible is hell? More horrible than words could ever describe. A place where a man goes or a woman goes, and they fall. And they fall head over heels. And they go deeper and they go downward. It gets hotter as they go. They scream and they beg, and there is no hope. There is no peace and there is no joy. There's never release from it. Once you're in hell, you stay in hell. There you are. In hell, fire and damnation forever. And one of the worst things about hell is the simple fact that you didn't have to go there. The fact that you heard the gospel, you said no to Jesus, will haunt your mind throughout eternity. While you'll cry time again and say, Lord God, why didn't I do something about it when I was alive? Why wasn't I saved when I had the opportunity? Every altar call you've ever heard, every soul you've ever seen saved will fly through your soul and your mind. It'll burn you throughout eternity. I think the memory is one of the worst things about hell, is the fact that you'll remember. The Lord over there in the book of Luke 16, the rich man was talking to Abraham, and Abraham said, son, remember. Oh, you'll remember. Are you listening to me? A place, my friend, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You've got a choice between the land that is fairer than day, streets of pure transparent gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. You've got a place where the Son of God resides, and the Son is the Son thereof. He's the light thereof. A place where you can be with God forever, and no suffering and sorrow, or hell, fire, and damnation. Which is the choice you'll make? You got to choose one or the other. Are you going up or are you going down? Well, preacher, I'm doing the best. You're doing the best you can. Ain't good enough. My church, I don't care what your church told you. My priest, I don't care anything about your priest. Well now, preacher, you just hold on a minute. You sound like a bigot. No, I'm preaching the Bible to you. There's only one that can keep you out of hell, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross to keep you out of the pit, my friend, and no church, no synod, no preacher, no priest, nobody can keep you out of heaven if you've been born again and washed in the blood of the Son of God. Oh, yes. I love what Dwight L. Moody said as he left this old world. Oh, boy, you ought to go read it. You ought to read what Moody said as he came down to the end of his time. He had a little bit left, just a few, maybe a few minutes and something. And it says that he spoke out to those standing around him and said, hey. He said, heaven is opening and earth is receding. This place is going behind and this world is opening up to me. And he fell back in the bed and he was gone. That's the way I want to leave. Amen. I'd love to be up here in front of you sometime preaching the Word of God. I would. I'd love to be right up here behind this pulpit and look up and see what you don't see and see the heavens roll back and see them come and say, now it's time to go, son. I'll say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to go. Glory to God. That'd be wonderful. Say, why? Because it'd be a testimony. You'd have it on film and you'd see it. And maybe somebody'd wake up from their stinking sleep. Some of you are so dumb. Some of you are so brainwashed. Some of you are so dead. The only thing you care about is a ball game or a sex bed or drugs or some hell on this earth. You don't care anything about your soul. And one day you are going to answer the call. It is appointed to men once to die. And then the judgment. I've walked up and down the hospital rooms. I've heard the people as they talk. And I'll guarantee you the least talked about thing in a hospital room is a ball game and a racetrack. And the most talked about thing in a hospital room is Jesus. 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 Oh, you hear him everywhere. The doctors pray before they operate on you. The nurses come and plug you up. And they pray with you. Talk about Jesus. It's everywhere in the hospital. You know why? Because they're watching people die every day. Every day. There's something about it. Just kind of gets to you when you're watching people leave. And finally, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 10. This sad thing about man. 2:10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Some don't want that truth. They don't want the truth. They don't want it. They want to lie. They want to go to church, quote unquote, whatever you call a church anymore. Anything can be called a church. They want to get. They want to hear some kind of an uplifting thing that makes them feel good. And they want, especially want to feel good about themselves. And then they want to walk out of there and say, everything's okay. My preacher told me everything was all right. I feel good. And that's the way they live. They never know what conviction is. They never know conversion. They never know the Lord. It's not because the deception is there. The deception's always been there. Deception was there in the garden, Genesis 3. It's not the fact that deception is here. What's the problem? People want deception. They want the lie. This is what God judges them for in 2 Thessalonians 2. When the Antichrist shows up, he judges the world because they wanted a lie when they had the truth. And God says, if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a lie. I don't put a lot of stock in prophecy preaching. I really don't. And the reason I don't is because I've seen so much of it in the past just fizzle out to nothing. But I believe in prophecy, believe me. And I believe in the second coming. Oh, yes, I do. And I believe that we are near the rise of the Antichrist. And I believe the world is ripe for him. And how do I know that? I know that because of what people want. They don't want the truth. They want a lie. And so the lie is about ready to step on the stage of time. I'll say this and shut up. If you look at the front page of the Lion of Judah, you'll see I put about 4 or 5 articles on there that point directly to Russia. One article on there is a quote from Vladimir Putin that was made just for a few days ago, where Putin warns the world that Russia is a nuclear power. Now just think about that for a minute. Russia has already moved 1,000 or maybe more troops into eastern Ukraine. Russia already has the Crimea in their basket. Putin, they're alleging that he's moving into the Arctic. In plainer words, he's like a guy going through a cafeteria line, and he's just taking whatever he can. He's taking the land anywhere he can find it. For whatever reason, Vladimir Putin is rebuilding the Russian Empire. He's not part of the New World Order. Now that ought to make you think. Because it says plainly in the book of Ezekiel that Russia, the bear, Meshech, Gog, Magog, is going to come down against Israel. And God's going to smite them on the mountains of Israel. And for 7 years it'll take to burn the weapons of war. He'll put a hook in their jaw. And you know, when you think, boy, the whole world, though, falls under the power of the Antichrist. Except Russia. And Russia has made it plain that he is not part of political correctness, or he's not part of the New World Order. He's not part of it. So you see the alignments as they begin to develop. And they're already telling people we're heading into World War III. ISIS is a scourge, they say, that must be eradicated from the face of the earth. And I agree, they are a scourge. They are a murderous bunch. So all I need is a good crisis to pull the world together. And Henry Kissinger has just come out in just the last few days. Kissinger, who was one of the architects of the New World Order. He's just come out recently and said that we're going to have to reassess our alignment because Russia's not part of it. So we've got to reassess what we're going to do to bring about a new world order. Just remember, new world order is one world government. One world government is the government of the Antichrist. They're at the door, folks. It's at the door. It's coming together. It's at the door. You know what's exciting about it? When it gets to the point, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, come up hither. Up we go. We're close to leaving. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Put a button right here on this pulpit and see how long it take me to reach over there. Hey, we'd be gone. If that happened right now, I'm just going to take a guess. If the rapture took place right now, probably 70% of the people in here would leave. Maybe a little more. I don't know. God Almighty is the only one that knows. But some of you, no doubt, would be left behind. What would you do? I'll tell you what you'd do. You'd panic. Why don't you come and do something about it right now? You remember what they said about God that loves? Brother Grady, all the other religions look to their God for power, a God of power, but our God not only is a God of power, amen, He's omnipotent. That means all power, but He's also a God of love, for God is love. He loves you. He'll cleanse you, forgive you, save you, and write your name in the book of heaven. Give you the Holy Ghost. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd bless your word. Bless it to the hearts of the people. I've delivered what you put on my heart. And I bless you and I praise you. And thank you for being good to me and faithful to me. You stood by my side, Lord. You've stood by my side so many, many times. And thank you for standing by my side one more time. In Jesus' sweet holy name I pray. For Jesus' sake I ask it. Amen. Let's stand up.